Hear, hear, with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Well, blimey, nobody said this age of austerity was going to be fun, but with unemployment hitting 2.52 million, and since June 2009 having the highest rate of unemployment since 1994, we're asking why.
We need to recognise that the jobs always don't come to you. Sometimes you need to go to the jobs, and we're now going to put this phenomenal work programme, probably the biggest programme of any kind since the Depression, which will come into place to help those long-term unemployed, tailor them, get them organised, get them sorted so they're ready for the work. That's the key thing.
Hear, hear, with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Well, the global economic crash caused a huge dip in employment figures. There's no doubt about that. But now, around 5 years on from that catastrophic financial occurrence, unemployment is still sitting around the 2.5 million mark. Why? Later we'll hear from Liam Byrne, Labour's Shadow Secretary of State for Work and Pensions.
The only way we've ever repaired and rebuilt our country after difficult times is by getting our people back to work.
And from Nigel Barber from the Volunteer Centre in Westminster.
It's all about helping your local community.
And alongside me, studio guest of the week, his name is Del Strain, once described as George Galloway's favourite Scottish comedian. Del, hi, how are you?
All right, mate.
Now, that's actually quite a compliment from George, isn't it? But you can sort of see that he was almost qualifying. I mean, it kind of implies he might have a more favourite Welsh comedian?
Possibly. I think, I was really touched that night he said that. I'd only worked with him a couple of times, but it was kudos for me, it really was. So George is a good guy. I don't agree with him 100% on everything, but most things I do. And then Viva Palestine.
You grew up in Glasgow.
My family's actually from Maryhill. I grew up on the west coast of Scotland, a place called Kilmarnock.
Ah, okay, fair dues. But nevertheless, the whole area is more hit than the rest of the UK.
Oh,
and it
definitely
is still the UK.
Yeah.
By unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, it's a very general question, so let's get our broom out. Who do you blame for the unemployment figures being what they are today?
Five things. I came down here when Mr. Tebbit told me, and millions like me, to get on our bikes in the late 80s. At that point, working on a building site, you could earn anything from £90 to £120 a day. If you was a poor person born in London, you could go and put your name on a housing list and get a house without having to be pregnant, which was madness in the first place. And they were still building houses in, which they don't build now. It is a combination of neglect that all goes back to failed policies, to be fair, of both sides, but traditionally, the Tories, they're at the heart of everything. Thatcher sowed the seeds of greed, and these are the trees we are growing today.
But how much can you blame Thatcher for what's happening today? Because if you look at, I say to everybody, have a look at the charts, you can see this. After 6 months after the economic crash, because unemployment stats, they're a lagging indicator, they tend to be slightly behind the economic trends. What happens from June 2009, it shoots right up to the levels roughly that it's at the moment, and it's stayed there for the last 5 years. Margaret Thatcher is dead now.
Thatcherism.
Is David Cameron a Thatcherist?
Oh, he's a Thatcherite.
He's more not, is it?
2 weeks before they got in, I said on Talk Sport, he's more Thatcherite than Thatcher ever was. They will come in, they will do X, Y, and Z, and they have done X, Y, and Z, and A, B, C, D, E. This is payback big time. You created a society where you had to get pregnant to get a flat. You created a society where guys couldn't live with a woman that got pregnant because you were bothering about that extra £20 a week, which created this whole subculture of not bringing up kids. You's created this. If you're going to make it, you have to be pregnant to get a flat, for God's sake. If you're going to pay people money that they can't even survive on, I was getting £120 a day in 1989. A packet of cigarettes was £2. Petrol you didn't even think about. Utility bills was nothing. Now they have basically cut our country up into little pieces and gave it away to the uber rich to do whatever they want with.
You know, he's Del Strain. I was very worried, ladies and gentlemen, inviting him on, that he wasn't going to have an opinion when he got on air. In a moment, I'm going to ask one of the guys from the galleries to come and give you a back rub. But let's take a listen to Liam Byrne. He's Labour Shadow Secretary of State, and I nabbed him in the Commons earlier this week.
It's higher than at the last election. It's the highest figure now since 1994, and it's going up, not down. And what we saw in the most recent figures are that the number of people in jobs has also fallen. And so what that means is that net, the economy has stopped creating jobs. So 3 years into this parliament, we're going in the wrong direction. And it's now pretty plain that the government's plan has failed and we need to change course.
We're seeing at the moment unemployment levels of around 7.8%, and we're seeing the highest unemployment since 94. The question that has to be asked is, from the man, or of the man, if you like, who wrote the note saying there's no money left, would it really be any different under Labour?
It would, because I also left a budget, which I wrote together with Alistair Darling, that would have set out how we'd halve the budget over 4 years, half the deficit over 4 years, by taking a more kind of carefully considered and lower risk path to paying down the deficit. Now, this government will not even hit that plan because they have made such a mess of things. They're having to borrow, getting on for £250 billion more than they planned, because they strangled the recovery that we left them, they flatlined the economy, and now unemployment's going up, not down.
Well, we're coming on, aren't we, to cause rather than consequence, and let's stick with that theme for the second, because the blunt truth at the moment is the economy is not growing as fast as the OBR, who traditionally, obviously, overpredicts growth. Now, at the risk of giving you an open opportunity to kick the government, because they would argue they're living with economic conditions that your party actually left, I will ask you, do you think to an extent, moving forward, that unemployment within this parliament can be fixed? And if so, how?
I think the government is going to need to change course if we're going to see unemployment come down in the way that it should. And, you know, what I've said is that the government needs to set out a path for full employment because, look, you know, if you go back through British history, the only way we've ever repaired and rebuilt our country after difficult times is by getting our people back to work. That's how we did it in 1945. It's how we paid to repair our public services in 1997. That's how we should be paying down debt faster now, is by getting people back into work. More people in work paying in tax makes these kind of tasks easier than when you've got a lot of people sitting on the dole taking out benefit. It's simple.
From unemployment to underpayment, part of the danger is that people listening to Here Now may be doing jobs that they're very overqualified for, or that they're receiving less money than they should, because inflation skyrocketing at a time when wages simply aren't. What's the solution to that? Because presumably it's like it will be unemployed.
Well, the challenge is there's just not enough work to go round. And what that means is that for those people in work, their pay packets are taking an absolute hammering. So people are now being paid on average about £2,000 a year less than they were at the last election. So people are really feeling the pinch. And that's why, look, Labour has said it was ridiculous to introduce a set of tax and benefit changes that made people another £900 worse off over the last year on top of the squeeze to their pay packet. And frankly, at a time when millionaires are getting a tax cut, we simply think that's unacceptable.
Would you borrow more to improve working conditions in this country?
Yeah, we've said that if you had a short-term boost to the economy, over the longer term, you could get the deficit down in a lower risk way. Because look, I mean, we were sold a pot back in 2010. The government said, look, we're going to introduce this strategy of austerity and it'll all be fine. Well, it has failed, and it's failed on its own test.
So would you end the age of austerity?
Well, we've said that there will be difficult decisions ahead, but the way to get the deficit down is through a mixture of growth on the one hand, wise tax rises on the other, plus, I'm afraid, some spending cuts too. The problem
is spending cuts than we have now or not?
Well, we've said that we would not have cut at the same pace as them. There would have had to be cuts, I'm afraid. But the problem is the way the government has done it is they've flatlined growth. And so that kind of that third booster rocket, if you like, that you need in order to take us forward, you know, they've discarded that.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we're having such a difficult time now. And it's why they're having to borrow £250 billion
more
than they planned.
Well, this makes sense. But I think an awful lot of people listening to here, the politicos as well as non-politicos, will be saying, well, it's very difficult to work out the minutiae between which party is doing what. It's quite clear what you're saying is borrow more now, give the economy impetus, and that will make things brighter moving forward. But there is a reticence, isn't there, in your party to say, yes, the age of austerity has failed, it's fallen right on its face, and we will borrow quite a bit more, we will invest quite a bit more, and we will make some difficult decisions, but we will move forward with the economy, as you would argue, in a better shape.
Well, look, we've said that there's a number of things the government could do that would be self financing. So, for example, we've said that you could get over 100,000 young people back into work if we put a tax on bankers' bonuses. We could use the money to get young people into jobs. We've also said if you ended the tax perks, the pension tax perks of the very rich, you could create a fund which you could use to get everyone out of work long term back into jobs. Now, that's an important pledge. It's called the Compulsory Jobs Guarantee. It means that no one could spend longer than 2 years on the dole. That's a very tough message. But we can do it, and it'll be self-financed.
Are you moving to the right on welfare?
I'm not sure these old labels of left and right mean much to people in Britain.
All parties
these days
chase after them. You stumble over each other in order to get that right of centre ground. With George Osborne, I appreciate, on an opposing point of view, talking about the feckless behind the curtains, or to be fair to George Osborne, he hasn't used the word feckless, but lazy people hiding behind the curtains at 7 o'clock whilst we go to work. It's 1% of the welfare budget, people on out of work benefits. The majority is in work benefits and pensions.
It's not quite that simple. I mean, if you look at the way housing benefit has soared, you know, a big explanation of the whacking increase in housing benefit is because so many people are out of work, and because so many people are now scrabbling around for work. They're so low paid that they're having to turn to housing benefit to help them pay the rent at the end of the month. So, look, I'm not sure that, you know, if I went out to constituents, those kind of labels would make sense. What they would know is what's fair and what's unfair, and they would know what's right versus what's wrong. And right now, the government's got the wrong path, it's unfair, and frankly, it's not working.
Here, here with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Calm down, for Pete's sake, Del. Del Strain's in the studio. He's frothing at the mouth, shouting and screaming during the interview there with Liam Byrne, Shadow Secretary of State for Work and Pensions. Let's have both barrels, Del.
See, this is the thing. They have sold out the working class people, the Labour Party as a whole. At the end of the day, apart from Glenda Jackson and Joan Ruddock, there is nobody that isn't there just self-serving, filling their pockets. Now, here's a fact. In America, illegal immigrants get paid $200 a day. $200 a day for the menial work. Here, they do not want to spread the wealth. They want you to be a revenue robot, shuffle along for the Roman province and get screwed left, right and centre with tax, paying money on this, that and the other. Wake up before we haven't even got a country left. We are getting to the extent where you people don't seem to realise. Has the last 30 years not proved to you what happens? Dillingers, Jesse James and William Bonnies are not born, they are made. Well, and we have a nation of them.
Del, pinning you down on a couple of points there, you're obviously, you know, you've got a lot to say on this particular subject, but the old labels of left and right, I asked Liam Byrne whether, you know, Labour are going to the right on welfare, and he says those labels don't mean anything anymore.
Too much ideology, that's what's wrong. It's all nonsense, we all know. I want a world where there's no more right or left, where there is right and wrong. I want a world where it ain't common markets, it's common sense. And I want a world where there's compromise. Now, I'm left wing, but I would not pay for people to have kids.
You're left
I would
wing,
not do
I hadn't
that.
Noticed.
I would not, but I wouldn't pay for people to have
but
kids.
But let's focus in now. 2.52 million are unemployed. And that's like about a million more than, say, 10 years ago. The two arguments, what Liam Byrne puts across there is the notion that you can borrow more now and give some impetus to the economy and then ultimately pay less back in the future. The coalition are saying, well, no, wait a minute, you know, we need the age of austerity. That's the only way we're going to get people, you know, this country back on its feet. But do you think either of those policies is right in terms of unemployment? And do you think either of those is going to be good or bad for jobs?
I think it's a load of nonsense, considering the trillions that we're in debt now. I think it's all soundbites and it's rubbish. People will work if you pay them decent wages.
Well, we have actually had a statement from the Department for Work and Pensions. Unfortunately, the Employment Minister, Mark Hoban's diary didn't work for here this week, but watch this space, he'll be with us in the future. And the statement reads, the latest labour market statistics show there are more than 500,000 job vacancies in the UK, the highest number since 2008. In addition, they showed that in the first 3 months of 2013, the UK workforce clocked up more hours than ever before, over 20 million hours more each week since the same period last year. The full statement can be read on the website at hearhearshow.co.uk. Del.
These people do not live in the real world, and I do not think that people who are running policies for people should be people like that.
I think what they're saying is that there are more job opportunities than there were before. I get what you're saying about minimum wage. It makes perfect sense. But to a degree, you're not going to have more self-respect in your own right if you're going out, you're doing a job. It's appreciated. It's a line on your CV and you are doing something in order to bring the money in. Why is that wrong?
Because it is wrong. It's like, say I'm a comedian, right? And I go around there and I'm really good. And I go and I do open spots. And you do open spots, you get really good at your craft. And then some people want you to do open spots, but they're charging on that night and taking money and not giving you any of it. That isn't fair. Well, to me, that is minimum wage. And what you've got to realise is, it's okay for the people in London who are Londonised, but have a look at the North and Scotland, etc. They had communities ripped apart for the last 30 years. You've got 30 years of problems. You've got massive alcohol and drug problems that have basically been there because there's parts of the country being neglected. You've got to deal with everything as a whole. You can't just say, oh, there's a job, go get yourself better. Because the reality is, if you add up the wages, then what you pay on a dinner every day and your travelling expenses, at the end of the month, you ain't no better off than the people in a dole, and that's what half the people's got the hump about. But why don't you get the hump with the people that ain't paying you enough instead of the poor?
Dale Strain in studio with us, the comedian. These are his views, and you can have your say in the Have I Got Booze For You channel. But in the meantime, let's hear some of the views that have been coming in here on Audio Boo.
Have I Got Booze For You?
Audio Boo's Dolores William has been out on the streets of the Elephant and Castle. Here's Johnny, who was made redundant 4 weeks ago.
I've had no interviews as yet. It's only been 3 weeks, but I've had no interviews. I would take a job if the money was okay.
Vanessa, meanwhile, has been telling Dolores about her graduate sister's struggle to find work as a midwife.
She's finished uni 6 years ago, and right now she finds it really hard to get a job in the industry. She's working at a couple of fast food places, and she's been complaining that, you know, she put so much money into the uni and then, you know, when she left, she didn't get anything out of it.
Student journalist Jeremy wonders if the government are too busy helping the super rich.
It's probably one of the hardest times in the last couple of decades to sort it out for the government. So, you know, in a way you can't blame them, but they definitely should be focusing a little more on getting the poor into jobs.
Hear, hear with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo. Sign up for your free account now.
And you can get that free account at audioboo.fm or listen to the show at hearhearshowthelisteningway.co.uk. Hearhearshow.co.uk. Del, interesting views there. There's an awful lot generally of underemployment, would that be the word? Where people are ending up having to do more menial jobs than they're qualified for?
If I'm being honest, I think we've got a whole society the last 20 years where everyone wants to be famous. Everybody thinks parents should be telling their kids more of the reality of what life's about. One, two, I don't think everybody should go to uni. I think uni should be for the cream of the cream. And even if you're poor, you should be able to go there, but it's a bit intelligence. And the third thing is, it's just, you cannot shut down. In my, for example, where I live, you had 100,000 people working in manufacturing. Every single one of them places shut down. Everyone can't work in Tesco's. Everyone can't work on an industrial estate that employs five people. It's madness, and we've never recovered.
I think it's a really interesting point, and you and I would definitely agree on this. It's not to denigrate any job that anybody's doing, but obviously it's slightly ridiculous when you get, as someone on Twitter was telling me earlier in the week, neuroscientists working in McDonald's and things, literally just so they can make ends meet, you know?
And also, even normal stuff. I spoke to a guy from Luton last week who works on the council down the roads. The government took 40% of his earnings last week in tax. Now, come on. And then he goes and buys cigarettes or food or clothes and he's getting taxed again.
Isn't it poor tax, really? I mean, if you're looking at fuel, if you're looking at cigarettes, and all parties have the same policy on that. Tax high, tax high.
Well, tell me this. If you really want to help people, normal working people who you keep going on about, don't take any tax on petrol for a year, because that'll put a couple of grand in my pocket. Everybody else's, we start spending money. No. Look, austerity, these people mean they get even richer. Simple as that. There's never a Rothschild, a Goldsmith or a Burbecker got poor from austerity.
Your views on the Have I Got Booze For You channel right here on Audio Boo. One of the things people are doing, if they are unemployed, they want to give something back to their community, is volunteering. And I caught up actually with a chap called Nigel Barber from the Volunteer Centre in Westminster, and he explained, you know, some of the reasons people end up walking through his door.
Volunteering is great for people that are currently looking for work, that are unemployed. I would say approximately about 60% of people that walk through our door or access our service through online registration and through Do It, the National Volunteering website, are looking to gain skills, get confidence, great for references, CVs, whatever it might be, to enable them really on that stepping stone back to work or to work for the first time.
How much weight does volunteering carry when it's on someone's CV?
I think it can make so much difference at an interview, for example. If you've got one employer and two people at an interview got exactly the same qualifications, volunteering gives a prospective employer a different insight into someone. you know, it adds something extra that isn't there and can help. And we've had great feedback from employers where it has made a difference at a job interview.
How many people find work and then continue volunteering, do you think?
I think the great thing about volunteering is for all ages. People can start volunteering, come back to volunteering when they're older. It's for all ages and all backgrounds. It's got to fit into the rest of your life. I think, you know, it's very, very flexible volunteering. And the great thing is you can do volunteering whenever you want to. Maybe for a few hours a week, it may be a bit more. But you've got to make sure you're enjoying it as well.
Very relevant politically with the big society agenda. I mean, I'm a parliamentary lobby journalist 3 years into a parliament. So I'm still not entirely sure what the big society is. But do you think the coalition government generally, and politicians, if you like, as a whole, are doing enough to encourage volunteering?
I think the great thing about volunteering is it comes from within the community. And the big society, isn't it? It's all about helping your local community. I think it helps this infrastructure there, so funded from government, and we've been very lucky over the years, and hopefully that will continue. But I think with volunteer centres, and I work for one volunteer centre, there's 31 other volunteer centres in London, it's important that obviously that funding does continue so it can help us deliver our core service. And our core service is helping people volunteer.
And of course, we're not all about London. Anywhere around the country, you can get involved in volunteering. Nigel, what would people's best course of action be? Wherever they are in the UK, they want to help and they want to volunteer.
I think wherever you are, be it in Newcastle or down in Newquay in Cornwall, there is a volunteer centre in your local borough. You can Google your local volunteer centre and just find out where your nearest volunteer centre is. It does vary from volunteer centre to volunteer centre as to what days of the week they're open. And we are very lucky in Westminster that people, we have a drop-in. It's a bit like a shopfront, people just walk in. But would check locally as to when your local volunteer centre is open. And they are there to help you volunteer in whatever you want to do.
Here, here with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Well, it's not a bad use of your time volunteering, Dale.
It certainly is, and actually did some of it for Centrepoint before they had the Royal Seal, of course. Years ago, I put a bit back because I had actually used their services the first time we ever came to London. Centrepoint just used to have a big warehouse and you go into a sleeping bag. But at the moment, there is also an undercurrent of the obscenity that is Workfare. Now, the whole point about volunteering is it should be your choice to do so. You shouldn't be bullied into doing it. So I'm totally against Workfare purely because of some of the stories that have come out. But volunteering for a lot of different people and a lot of different reasons, it's good to give back to your community. Every day I try and do at least 2 random acts of kindness because just personally I believe that Mitzvah's
giving
them...
You toss them up, do you?
No.
No. I thought you'd go out. I'm going to help this old lady across the road, quick.
Even if she don't want to.
Oh, crikey, it's 11:30, I haven't done anything. I'm going to wash somebody's car.
Well, usually something happens, you know, like today I helped someone up the stairs with a buggy. Even if it's just that, or giving your seat to an elderly person on the tube the way the things used to be. But I would rather do someone a good turn than a bad turn.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You were saying, actually, whilst we were listening to Nigel, that you were homeless yourself.
That's correct.
So. Yeah. You do know the value of a pound?
Well, of course, and I know the value of a bed as well, and that's what I mean. It depends where you are at your point in life, I suppose. Years ago, I used to chase pound notes, but my life ain't about money no more. My life's just about being content in my own skin.
Yeah, that's great, and the good life philosophy, it's a beautiful idea to quote David Cameron to Nick Clegg, funny enough, but we do need a few pound notes, as it were, to pay the bills.
No, I'd rather survive off £10,000 a year so you can't take my tax and wage war on countries, to be perfectly honest, and then the men at the top's getting nothing. So
fair enough.
It's all about perspective.
Fair enough. I guess it depends how much you want to go out to the cinema, I suppose, but there we go.
The cinema,
Or go and watch a stand-up comic like Del, of course. How do people find out more about you, Del?
You can chase me up on Facebook, Del Strain Comedian, or Del Strain Comedy on Twitter, and basically I'm up and down the country like the plague most of the year.
Up and down the country like the plague. People like to stay away from the plague, but I've caught some of your stand-up. I think it's fantastic. Now, look, we're looking at a couple of picks of the week that are not unemployment related, and your first one was well, we might as well do them together, gay marriage and Europe, because they do link in, don't they?
They do link in, funnily enough. To me, perfectly honest, I believe that gay people want to get married, why not let them be as miserable as everyone else that is? And as far as Europe goes, no, I'm building a Spitfire, I'm really waiting for the Germans to start again. Listen to me, they can't be trusted. They have went to town 70. In the last 70 years, they went to town twice, people. Now, when Angela Merkel...
That's your objection to Europe, isn't it?
No, well, when Angela Merkel stands up and says, if you want peace in Europe for the next 50 years, the euro must stay. I take that as being threatening language.
Yeah, but I mean, the Europe issue itself, people are obviously going to have various different views, and we have got a Europe special on the way at some point here on here. But the Conservative Party, it is imploding at the moment on the issue of gay marriage and on the issue or equal marriage. I think it's actually probably better to call it, I'll be honest. But nevertheless, that's the way, you know, the Daily Mail and the like will describe it. But also on the subject of Europe, and Europe's always been a headache.
We got to get it. Look. British people will never be European. You cannot turn Barnsley at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night into Barcelona. People are not going to sit there drinking coffee talking about Gaudi and architecture. That is the culture of Britain, I'm afraid. We like alcohol, we are violent, we're very tribal, we've got our own slang, our accents change within a 20-mile radius. Stop trying to change us. Europe, bigger pigs, bigger noses, bigger troughs.
Yeah, so do you think then, do you agree with the backbenchers in the... Trying to bring it back to politics here, people. Trying to bring it back to current affairs. David Cameron then, he's facing huge challenges to his leadership. Frankly, the rules of the Conservative Party work like this. Very influential backbench committee called the 1922 Committee. When was that founded, by the way? When would you think?
1912.
It's actually 1923.
23.
Because it was holding the leadership to
account.
But it was the 1922 general election. But essentially, if 47 Conservative MPs go to the chair of the 1922 committee and say, hey, we're getting an awful lot of letters, be it on Europe, be it on equal marriage.
Well, they listen.
Well, they can trigger a leadership election.
Well, basically...
So David Cameron could be out... I personally don't think it's likely, but this is the threat. David Cameron could be out on his ear.
No, I think there's an even bigger nightmare, Britain, if you don't wake up. You could end up having a coalition government with the Tories and UKIP in 2 years' time.
Can I say that's a mathematical impossibility?
Is that a mathematical impossibility?
It is an impossibility. It can't happen next time around. However, UKIP are rising, and this is the problem. This is why backbenchers have a problem with David Cameron, is they're saying that he's allowed UKIP to rise and he needs to address this. Earlier in the week, he gave a no-nonsense counter-strike to the naysayers on the Today programme on Radio 4. Saying that nobody outside of the Conservative Party or within the Conservative Party can change his mind on this. If you like, this gentleman is not for turning.
Well, I think the three-party system is dead. I think the people of Britain are disillusioned with the three-party system. And I think we're an inch off having guillotines in Trafalgar Square if they don't liven up.
Sounds like a threat, Del.
No, it's just observing.
On the issue, Europe, I think, is always going to be an issue for the Conservative Party. It's always going to be a headache for them. On the issue of equal marriage, it's interesting, isn't it? Down where we record is sort of London-based. And big cities, people generally don't have an issue. They say exactly that. If you want to be as miserable as the rest of us, go ahead.
To be perfectly
and
honest.
And it's equality. And that's the feeling. However, in rural areas and all around the country, people are so angry about it, they're writing letters to their MPs. Right. To the extent that an openly gay MP, a friend of mine in the Conservative Party, who supports it, says that, yeah, well, he says it's the wrong time because he says the education process hasn't been allowed to kind of ferment, as it were.
Well, I just think at the end of the day, it brings them out for the bigots that they are. And if that's what they feel on gay marriage, I wouldn't like to hear what they say about poor people or people with drug problems or alcohol problems.
You hit a toxic phrase there, because David Cameron specifically said earlier in the week, people who object on religious grounds, he says that they're not bigots. Mm-hmm. And the reason he says they're not bigots is because, frankly, these people... are the core voters in the Conservative Party. The whole point of conservatism is this is not progressive.
But this
so
speaks
how does
volumes.
This, work?
This speaks volumes. Millwall fans do not sing a homophobic chant to Brighton anymore because the world has moved on. In Glasgow, there are gay men walking around the streets hand in hand.
Absolutely.
Britain has moved on as a society. These people running it haven't, and
so
that's
the problem.
So
are you supporting David Cameron then?
No, I would never support
well,
him.
Well, you're sounding like you are a bit there,
I would maybe support him if there was a noose hanging there and I had to lift him up.
Stop talking about hanging politicians. How am I supposed to get guests if you threaten to hang them all? He's been Del Strain, guest of the week, right here on the Hear Hear Show. I tell you what, if you've enjoyed the show, you can like us on your Facebook page. You can embed the show. Tell your mates about it. Stick it on Twitter. You can follow Del on Twitter.
That's correct. And Facebook and a Crime Watch website.
What's your Twitter handle, Del?
It's Del Strain Comedy, thank you.
Absolutely. And, of course, you can follow myself at Sean Dilley, and the show Twitter is at Hear Hear Show. And remember, that's the listening way. Next week, it's women in politics. Whee! Hugely underrepresented. That's exactly the kind of terrible behaviour we're looking to stamp out, young man. Women are outranked 4-1 in the House of Commons. That's amongst MPs. And even in the parliamentary press lobby, about a fifth are women. We'll be finding out why right here, exclusively on Audio Boo.
Hear Hear with Sean Dilley on Audio Boo.
Whew, you are one angry man. That's your lot. You can go now.
Yeah, where's my rope and guillotine?
Hear Hear is an Audio Boo production. Produced by Dolores William. Engineered by David Crackles from UBC Media. Del Strain was the guest of the week. And Chip the guide dog was running around the studio. James O'Malley reported for Audio Boo.